What's going on, guys? Thanks a lot for coming on to today's episode. Just to kind of introduce our guest for today, Pat Shigoli. I'm really looking forward to this one because he was actually on once before, many months ago. And since then, he's been absolutely crushing the competition and he's been competing quite often. So I'm really looking forward to hearing his mindset and what he's been up to. He's a very young kid. He's a teenager. And I love to see the work ethic of the youth, and it's going to be really cool to have him on here again. So make sure you guys go and check him out. I believe like on Instagram, I'm sure we'll find an at I could put in down below, but he's definitely a great competitor and it's going to be a great conversation. So sit back, relax and enjoy. Patty Ice in the building. What is good, my man?
What's up, man?
We're rocking the all blue today, huh? We got the blue hoodie. We got the blue wall. What is that behind you?
It's just like one of my artists, not one of like the singer's poster that I like to listen to.
Oh, okay. That's dope, man. Hey, I was watching the, I think it was like the last match you had on like finishers or something like that. I think it was the last one. I was going up and down, man. I was pumped for you. I really wanted you to get the win. Dude, you were looking really good, man. I was really impressed, dude. How's it been since the last time we chatted?
I felt good, bro. I was like, I was so sore after that. I was sore for like 4 days and I took time off and I was just back into training, getting ready for my next like competition. But like, the whole mood there was like sick, and like just to be with all the killers competing there, it was just like an amazing day.
Yeah, it looked like a hype event. Tell us about it.
It was really like high intensity, like every match. So like I was getting kind of nervous in there. Like I was like, oh, these matches are going quick. I'm almost up. And like as soon as like the match before me was Michael Kostraba versus like Evan Levy, which are like two crazy killers, and that went like the whole. The full time 10 minutes in EBI, and then I was up. I usually get like butterflies and like nervous, but like I just walked in there like ready, just like go for the kill and like attack and everything. I was like hype.
Yeah, it seemed like you were looking like your A game, like you've been working on some stuff for sure. I think even like physically as well. Well, what was the training like going up to it?
Well, a couple weeks ago or months, I was doing some lifting with one of my coaches, Evan Glasgold. So I was getting into lifting like once or twice a week.
Nice.
And then I was trying to work like passing and upper body because like I always do legs during competition. So I just wanted to like test something out, what I've been working with, like just passing or like the back takes.
Ooh, okay. You've been working a lot then. You've been working physically, lifting. You're locking down your technique, man. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So let's kind of recap. So I think the last time you were on here was like what? 6-ish months ago, 7-ish months ago.
Yeah, I think in like maybe July or like September, close to that, around that.
Yeah. So it's been quite some time. And for you, you've only been on this earth you've only been on this earth for like 15 years or something. So
yeah.
That's a lot of time. What have you been working on since then? Like if you can give us like a little timeline.
Just working on my upper body and just like passing a game. Cause like, I know I have a good dominant leg locks, like entanglements, like breaking mechanics. So I just want to work like upper body, like passing especially, and like just trying to get more upper body submissions, knowing that I have like leg locks as a plan B if that doesn't work well. So, and just constantly drilling, and just like my main goal was just like trying to pass and like basically just trying to go for the kill every like role I have with someone, and just high intense and high paced matches.
Okay.
Cause like most of my competition are just like me being lazy on my back and like trying to like my guard getting passed. So I'm trying to like push the pace, like with wrestling and everything.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think we've all been there, but I remember specifically like last time it was more about like the supine guard getting into the legs. So that's cool. I think if you can, I would like to hear your word on it. I think there's definitely like there's been a shift lately in like the modern jiu-jitsu game of people kind of going towards like top position again and trying to dominate people that attempt legs.
Like, for instance, like the Rotula brothers, like against like Ethan Krellstein and like Nicky Ryan, like they shut down their leg lock positions. And like now, like with the first match, Ethan versus the Rotula, like he dominated like the leg locks and everything. And he got out of all of them. Like the next match, he like armbarred him and darced him. So like they have like a high level like leg lock defense game. So like I feel like people that are knowing now, like everyone's like shutting down like the leg lock game. Like they have to pick something else and like work upper body. That's what I noticed during my roles. Everyone knows like how like getting out of positions and like heel slipping. So like now I gotta like combine that or just work another game.
Yeah, it's always fun doing it when they don't know how to like hide their heel and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always way more fun with that. But I think, yeah, I think it is different because I've actually been trying to make that shift as well, because I kind of ran into a similar problem in tournaments. I would like go out there, try to play a lot of guard stuff, and they would either like, you probably have felt it before, like they either don't engage or they can like smash right through you potentially. I feel like if you have like more of a top game and then you have like bottom game in your back pocket, it kind of like, I feel like it can kind of work out a little bit easier.
My finisher's matches, like my first opponent was just like stuck on the knees, just heavy on the legs. So like, I was just letting him like kind of pass my guard and like trying to open up positions, like, and just let him do stuff, but he just sat there until like EBI. And then with my second match against Michael Kostraba, like I've watched all his matches. Like he competed at Sogi a bunch and just like lets his like ankles and like body parts like pop and everything and break. So like I knew like, oh, I don't have a chance of heel hooking him. So maybe I'll work like my passing, like back takes or everything. So it was like definitely like good for me, like to change it up during like the competition from like my first or second match.
Yeah, it looked like a tough match. Like you've really pushed the pace there.
Yeah.
Has there been any other competitions over the past like nearly a year that you've been hitting? I think you've hit like several. If you want to tell us a little bit about like, I'm very interested in hearing like about like your mindset towards competition, because I'm trying to just get more people out there to like influence them to compete and stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, I have two coming. I had a few. Before finishers, I had like my own tournament I run that I did. And I think before that, I had a good fight. And that's pretty much it. I was just, and I got like the message, like, I think like 2 weeks out for finishers. So I'm like, oh, I got to get ready for it. Yeah. But for my own tournament, that was April 30th. So it was four quintet teams and the main event, which was like, me and my coach versus my dad and my other coach. That's like a team duel 2v2. It's like an in-house tournament. Like I'm doing this for like fun, and eventually it's gonna be like open to public, just testing it out.
Yeah, but seeing how it runs.
I won. Yeah, I won both of those, and then for the good fight, I had to go against my own teammate, and it was just like a rough day. So I don't really like going against my own teammates. I went like the full 7 minutes with him, and then we went to EBIOT and I eventually got the armbar. But like it just like sucks like driving all the way up there to the first year, like versus your own like teammate that you train with every day.
Yeah, how was that? Did you guys decide like we're gonna have this match? Were you guys like talking about possibly like flipping a coin for it or something like that? I've been there.
Well, we knew like we were in the same bracket, so we're like, oh, like we don't really care like if like one of us wins. So we just went in there and we had fun, like. We exchanged like good like transitions, like we just had fun out there until EBI, and pretty much like he didn't care about the loss and I didn't care about the win. Like, oh, you're still my teammate, like I'm not like gonna talk crap about you on Instagram or something, like, oh, I beat my own team.
Yeah, post the highlight.
Yeah, it was, I didn't even record that match anyways. It was just like a waste of time, to be honest.
Yeah, those far drives out to the tournaments can be freaking,
yeah.
Just to like go and fight your own partner.
Yeah.
So what has been like your, if you have any changes to your mindset since you've been competing more often, has anything changed there?
Definitely like preparing before competitions, like my mindset, like maybe like a couple, like 2 weeks out, I would like prepare my own mind, like, oh, I gotta get ready. Like, this is like high level stuff, or like for finishers, especially, like, oh, there's like brown black belts in here. Like, I gotta get ready. Like, this isn't no good fight where like white belts or blue belts are in. So, like, I have to like get ready, push the pace, like, always going for the kill and not really like relax and like letting them like get advantage of me. And that's what I noticed a bunch, like, in my first match. I let them pass my guard. So it's definitely like something I should work on, like not letting them get like ahead of me or have an advantage on me. Like, oh, if you pass my guard now, I have to like think, now I need to get out and then resettle it and like go back to my guard. So definitely that, just preparing.
You're like thinking like, don't even get my guard passed in the first place. You want to start like,
yeah, for sure.
Especially on the, I guess, especially for the, like the matches and tournaments for where it really matters, right? Like, I'm sure there was a pretty good viewership for that. There's definitely a lot of heads there, right?
Yeah. And like, sometimes, like, not now, but eventually, like, I'll just hop into like local tournaments and just test out new stuff and like see how it is, like a good fight or like grappling industries.
Yeah. So I've had a few guests on here. One specifically, we really talked about like white belts and blue belts competing, right? And I was saying, like, I think it's really important for us that like these like beginner belts, we'll call it, like, I know belt doesn't matter too much, but we'll just talk about like that skill level. You're starting to get more towards like intermediate, advanced, whatever. I think sometimes it can be very important to just like go out there and compete and not worry too much about like the end result, right? Like, maybe for finishers, when there's like viewership and stuff, like, I feel like that's the time to really like,
yeah,
turn up, right? Like, that's what you're training for. I feel like the local, like the local good fight or like the local grappling industries is just kind of like a way to go out and like kind of have fun. Like, you probably know, like, competing can be like a blast. It's like, it's,
yeah,
like, you know, and I think it can be like ruined by the stress of it. So if there's anything, like, you got any thoughts on that, I'd love to hear it.
To be honest, like, for like, if you're like a white or blue belt, or maybe just like a white belt, if you're doing like a good fight and like you lose, like, eventually, like, you in my opinion, you shouldn't really care about it. Cause like in like 20, like in 10 years, when like you're a brown belt, like, no one's going to go back and say like, oh, remember that good fight you lost at a white belt? Like, for instance, like, Flow Grappling, like, isn't going to care about a good fight, like, a gold medal good fight you won in white belt. Like, they want to see, like, oh, you being on, like, finishers, like, Sogi, or, like, high level, like, Emerald City. They want, like, that's, like, matters to them. Like, if I'm, like, coaching someone, or, like, if I'm a black belt and, like, one of my, white belt students lost the match, like, I don't really care about that. Well, I care about them, but, like, it shouldn't matter to them because they're still white belt. They still have a bunch like of time ahead of them to like focus and like train more and just like caring about like a white belt loss.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if like you lose like 2 points, like 2-0, like, you shouldn't matter. It was a point. You didn't, like, say you didn't get like any, like, say the guy didn't get any submissions on you. Like, he just stalled the whole match until you get a pass on you. Like, it shouldn't matter.
Yeah. And those can be sometimes like the most frustrating. And sometimes you'll even look at those matches and you'll think that the person who lost by points had better jujitsu just because of like the way that the rules turned out too, right? So I always think from like the perspective of like, I want to learn from this person, right? We want to look at like good jujitsu. I think that would be important. Which is also really interesting how you say like you win a good fight, white belt, gold medal. And like, it's like, okay, cool, high fives. But in the end, it doesn't really matter. So what's the point of like getting super stressed about it, right? Like, I got to win this big event. Meanwhile, nobody cares.
Yeah, like, I saw on like their bio saying like gold medal and like Naga or something, or like 2-time gold medal. And I'm like, does it really matter? Like Logan is saying like, oh, like someone's like a 2-time champion in good fight. Like, they don't care about
My favorite recently, I've seen a few of these, it's been like the blue belt, so, you know, I've seen this all the time, so there's no name calling, it's literally like a lot of people, but you see like the blue belt and they're like, they have like the emoji that's like the second or the third place IBJJF or whatever, and I'm just kind of like it's so cringe, like it hurts to look at.
especially like that, like say you win a gold medal in like a point or like 1-0, like, oh yeah, I'm IBJJF champion, but I won 1-0. Like you didn't really like get anything out of it. You just like, for instance, like you just stalled until you can get like an open position and like get the points. Like you didn't get a submission. Like you won gold by a point.
Yeah, I feel like the people that really care about the jiu-jitsu, like, we want to get the submission, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that's a really important part of it, right? It's just getting the submission. I feel like if I can't get the submission, like, recently I just had this match at a tournament where it ended in 4-2, and the guy won by 2 points, and I have no idea how. Like, I pulled guard, it was 0-0. So how did it get, that means he swept me twice. So how does that make any sense? I swept him once, he swept me back. How the hell did he get another two, right? But anyway, yeah. It to me, I was just like, you know, I should have subbed him at the end of the day. Like, that's kind of like what I think about. So when I look back at that match, it's like, how could I have gotten that sub that I like needed?
Like, if you like the recent IBJJF Pan Ams, like Andrew Wiltsey's match, there was a double guard pull and the guy stood up and you got like the 2 points. And like, it was just like stupid because like two people can pull guard and the first one to stand up gets the point, and like doesn't really make sense. Or if you see like in Gordon's point of view, like an ADCC, like I think 6 out of his 8, like 2 matches he won by points, and like he was pissed off that like he wanted to get like a fully 100% like win rate, and he only got 6 out of 8, but like he was mad. He beat like the best in the world, but like on points. That's not like you can beat the best in the world like on like a takedown, but like you didn't submit him. You just beat him on points.
Mm. Yeah, I can see why that can be frustrating too, because I think especially like for anybody, not of course with Gordon, this is definitely relevant, but I think with any of us who are like trying to get our name out there, trying to get our brand out there, like actually care about progress, like you're going to like naturally have like haters, right? You're going to have people that are like, they just want to find a reason to say that you suck for whatever like insecurity they have. So they are able to say like, oh, that guy, he just won by points. And so,
yeah,
a weird attitude to have. I saw another cringy thing where like this guy, he posted like, I got first place in my tournament. He was like holding up like a gang sign almost with his hands. And there was just one other person on the podium. And I'm just like, okay, you won first place, 2-man bracket, like calm down.
Yeah. Or the like him and another guy in the bracket is just like, you beat one guy.
Like, yeah. I always feel weird too when I see like 2 or 3 people on like the third place podium. What's the deal with that?
I think Pan Ams does that too. You'll see like 2 people on the third place and like one on second, one on like first. I think if that's like, if it goes to like a draw or something, I'm not sure, but I think it could be if they go to the draw or like they have like, they both had the same points, like 2-2. So I'm not sure about that.
I feel like I'd rather just leave.
Yeah.
I won't even want to get the picture. Like, I just want to go home, go get some food or something like that. So I've seen we got another Sogi coming up, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Sogi, I remember the last event. I've watched a few of the events. They're really good. They're like really one of my favorite events to watch.
Yeah.
I really want to get on one, to be honest with you. Maybe we could finesse that sometime. But I really see that like the viewership for it has really like picked up, and there was a lot of people like tuning into the streams, especially at the last one. Is that one run by your father?
Yeah, he has Sogi, and I have my own brand called Tap.
Yeah, you got Tap. Have you been like involved in Sogi? Like, do you help out and like kind of like get it going?
Yeah, for sure. Like, just probably just like helping with like the advertising or promoting like the winners, just like taking photos of them and just like saying like, oh, winner via like armbar, just helping him out. So he's just not stressed at all. And just like, we're like just preparing everything beforehand before Sogi. And then I'll just let him like run the way he wants it and just tell him what to do.
Yeah. You'll be like helping him out.
Yeah.
You wanna, like, share anything about Sogi and like kind of how the tournament is run, I'd love to hear more about it.
I think, in my opinion, I started out with in-house, just like it's all teammates, like at the end we're having fun, but like I try to make it like professional but fun at the same time. So like, oh, for like the last one, the last tap tournament I had, we had like spotlights, we had commentary, we had gift bags for all the winners, a bunch of sponsors. So like just having like my teammates and like family, just having fun, even like win or lose, it's just a good vibe just being there. And like the tournament like ran like perfect. Like it was just like a, such a like good vibe there, and just like just being with my like teammates and everything, and eventually it'll be open to public, which I think will be better for me, because like I already have like a bunch of sponsors that I know that would sponsor the tournament, and like getting prepared. And I'm really like the type of person to be like prepared and like have everything set up ahead of time, so I'm not stressed like a day before. So yeah, I think it'll be like good.
Yeah, you'll have it like planned in advance.
Yeah,
that's really cool, man. I like how you're getting into that. That you're obviously competing and trying to run your own thing. That's fucking dope, dude. Like on some real talk, like that's super cool. Do you have like a date of when you wanted to do like a public one, or are we still kind of working on that?
I think I'm gonna have one more last in-house one, and then the next one I think will be public. So like the next one coming up will be it's like the Ultimate Fighter a little bit. So like the two coaches will be Dylan and my dad, and they both have 8 people on each side. And I'm planning on doing like September, October. So like you see me already like planning everything ahead. And so
yeah,
like,
I see it all the time too. Like you're advertising it, which is good. You know, fresh in the mind. I always see it.
Yeah.
For Sogi, what's going on with Sogi? So if you want to even like, for those that don't really know much about Sogi, like if you want to like talk a little bit about it, what are the rules?
Sogi is just a sub only invitational grappling tournament. So it's based on EBI rules. So like the one coming up in July 11th is there's going to be 2 divisions, white, blue, 170 and under and 170 and over, and purple, brown, black, 170 under and 170 over. And then for women's is white, blue, 150, one over, and purple, brown, black, 150, one over. So I think it'll be 10 minutes and 3 EBI OT. It's just like a finishers like turn finishers open, but we're kind of doing like a Sogi open, and the winner of the purple brown black bracket gets a free spot in the pro bracket for the next one, and I'll be in the purple brown. So hopefully I get that.
Ooh. That's you going after it, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Going after them upper belt. That's what's up. And then for tap, is it like the same thing?
Yeah, but I try to do it just like for fun. So I won't do like a single man bracket. I'll be like quintet or like team duels, or like, for instance, the one coming up.
Fun.
Yeah. The intensity is crazy. Like there's so many yelling, coaching, like it's amazing. Just the vibe there. Like if in person, it would be so sick.
Yeah.
Like all the
pace.
Yeah. Like all the reviews I got off like the students and like teammates, they just loved it all.
That's what's up. So you've definitely watched a lot of matches, and you've probably seen like, obviously there's a lot of victories and such. What do you think is it that helps the people win, especially at like the more upper belts?
Probably I've noticed some upper belts like crashing down. Like you'll see like the upper belts or black belts like training in like for in their gym, and like them killing it, like just like doing like amazing, and then like as soon as they go into like tournament, like they're like a different person. So like I'm kind of like that too, but like in tournaments I do better than in training I do worse. I tend to like just be lazy a lot, but like still have a good role. But like in competition, I'm focused on like my opponent. Like in my mindset during competition, I like to be like ahead of my opponent. So if I pull a guard and like they're standing, like I know that I have a bunch of options, and I know they have a bunch of options too. Like, oh, if they stand in the middle, I can go like reverse del Hiva. Or like if they're square, I can the legs are open, or like wrestling. So like I have like plans ahead of time for when I compete.
Yeah, that's smart. And then, of course, the objective would then be to for you to make the first move. You get the first grip. You make the first
book,
whatever the case may be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think there's like some general things that you could like if you were to notice as far as like the people that are like winning more often than not? Is there maybe like a mechanical thing, like a technical thing that's going on? You noticing like something about the way they roll?
Probably like for at Emerald City, like Luis Quiñones versus Frank Rosenthal, like the difference between Frank and Luis, like I saw a big difference in Luis than like in Frank's other matches. He's always pushing the pace and like going for the kill. But when I saw it, like Luis took his back pretty like quickly and easily. So it was really weird, like kind of like seeing a different Frank than in most competitions. So just noticing that, and I think people like definitely pushing the pace more, because you can go against like a calm guard puller against like a fast like guard passer, like a buzzsaw passer, like Wiltsy, like Andrew Wiltsy, and then just
smash
like
a tough wrestler.
Yeah, and they just smash through your guard, and like you didn't really expect that to happen, and like you're just like your mind's like in different places, like, oh, I just got my guard passed, like what do I do now?
Yeah, I've been there before too. Like this is a common problem in how I've lost by points in many matches, is like I'll pull guard and then they might just like blast right through real quick and I'll be like, oh shit, and they don't sub me, but then I get my guard back, they got 3 points, and now I'm just like, oh whoops. Like it's almost like just because you didn't care for that second, right? Like you didn't put that energy in. I completely agree. I think there definitely is, like, you know, obviously we talk about like the gentle art, you need to focus on technique, but I think if you take two people that are really good technical wise and they're around the same skill level, I think a lot of it is like outworking the other person, and like it can be like mentally breaking them from like fatigue, or even just being like almost tougher than them. Like you kind of have to put a little oomph behind it.
Yeah. Like you don't want to go into like a competition like slouched and like tired and like just like against your opponent, like your opponent's like getting warmed up, like chest out and everything. Like I think Gordon versus Wagner, you heard Gordon say like, oh, I want to like mentally and break him down and physically, like, oh, I'm gonna get him tired and then tap him out. So like you didn't physically like break your opponent, you also mentally, like the mindset, like it's like, oh, I'm done, I'm just gonna give up or something.
Yeah, or at least put that person under shock for an instant at least. Yeah, I think that's pretty crucial. So I believe you got you got a belt promotion since the last time, right?
Yeah, March 7th, I got my green belt under Steve Kasten.
That's what's up, man. And when do you turn 16?
I turn 15 in August.
Oh, shit, you're still not 15? Oh, my God, man. You're out here crushing it, dude. That's why I wanted to have you on here, man, because that's so cool, dude. You know, hats off to like your fam for getting you in on the right place. You started when you were like really young again, right?
Yeah, 7.
Okay, that's awesome. What do you think has been like the difference between being like an orange belt and a green belt, if there is any?
Definitely mindset. Cause like when I was an orange belt, I was like, so like, oh, I'm gonna leg lock everyone. And like, then I went against some people like that were really very hard to get in leg entanglements with. And like, just like, if I go back to my orange belt matches, like against adults, I was really like on my back and just letting them do stuff to me. And now that I see in my matches, I'm actually like going at them, like going like back and forth entanglements, just not like leg locks. Just like, I really been liking like the back and just like, kind of like countering them, like countering the legs to the back take. Mm-hmm. Which I've been using, I almost hit at finishers, but it's just, I've been just like working it. So like definitely like mindset, and just like my mindset in orange belt, my mindset at green belt, which is like a big difference. Like I'm more mature at a green belt, I guess.
Than an orange belt. Even like sitting up more and like you said, even trying to get behind people. That's what's up. Mm-hmm. what has your training schedule sort of been like? Like, I know you mentioned that you started like working out more and doing some strength training. Like, is there a specific way you like to plan out your jiu-jitsu training in response to like your strength training as well?
So I recently like had like full-time school virtual. So like I would have off on Wednesdays. So then that would be my training day, but then they put it back like 5 days a week. So sometimes I would lift after school or like on weekends, but I'll just ask them like, oh, you want to lift? Like, oh, my strength coach, Evan, just ask them like to lift and I'll be going to the gym. Like, oh, I'll hop in with them and I'll tell me what to do. But like my jiu-jitsu schedule. So like Monday through like Thursday, I teach the kids class with Dylan from 4:30 to 5:30. And then from 6 to 7, there's class. And then on Mondays and Wednesdays, there's 6 to 7 class, and then 7 to 8 open mat. And then Tuesdays and Thursdays, there's 6 to 7 fundamentals, and then 7 to 8:30 advance. I'm basically there from like 4 to like 9. But I'm still having fun. But
then you wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, but I try to base my hard days on advanced days because those are like blue belts and up. I don't want to waste like drain my tank on a Monday and then I'm drained for the rest of the week.
Yeah, that's a good point. So now with the strength training involved, like how did you feel like that helped or affected your training like regularly?
I definitely saw a difference on like my strength wise, like definitely like controlling and holding people like down. So like I definitely saw a big difference with that. And definitely just like comparing myself to like people my age, I would say. Like I'm way like bigger, not in like a jacked wise, but like just like, I don't know how to word it, but just like different like body types compared to another like 14-year-old, I would say, or like some adults. So definitely saw that. And I've only been lifting for like, I would say like maybe a month or two, but like during the summer, I'm definitely going to like be consistent with it and see if I have a big difference in like September.
Yeah, man. I think strength training is like an outstanding thing. I think it's fun if you do it the right way. Like you have a good coach with you, so that's always fun, right? And I've seen like Dylan's been getting a lot stronger as well. And I think it's probably going to be helpful if like other people in the squad are also lifting. Like that's going to motivate you to probably do it more. It's definitely fun, man. You know, really interesting is, you know, like Cody Steele and William Tackett, and they definitely went on like a really good for a while as far as like crushing, like they would fuck their competition up. Like they would do really well.
Yeah.
And if you watch the way that they train, their strength and conditioning is like insane. Like they're doing like 185, like clean and jerks, clean and presses, deadlifting 400 plus pounds, like Aerodyne bikes, like how you see like MMA fighters kind of preparing.
Yeah. Crazy. It's like, I feel like if I did that routine, like I would be drained on the first day and couldn't even go for the next day. So they're eating like crazy good too. So like I want to see like, oh, are they going like the 400% like every day? Or are they like, oh, are they like taking it slow maybe Monday and then pushing the pace Tuesday and back to Wednesday?
I think it's more along those lines because of course, like anything on like social media and stuff, people are always going to post their highlight, right? Like, I'm doing my 185, but like, you know, it's really interesting because like the progression of strength training is very much so like taking advantage of the days that you're primed and you feel good and then knowing when to scale it back. Because I think a lot of people, they make like the fatal error of overworking themselves because they might get really ambitious about it. So you like go in really hard to lift on Monday and then you try to go and lift hard again on Tuesday. By Tuesday you're done. By Tuesday you're feeling sore. So like if you're going in on Tuesday, you know, I always think a really good way is to kind of like manage like the intensity of it all. So if you haven't been like a really intense lifting session on Monday, like maybe that's the day you would just be doing like the kids class and like light roles. And then on Tuesday you have like higher intensity roles. And then maybe you just like do some stretching or something. And then,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You kind of like, and it's probably the same. It's like the same idea with like rolling hard, right? Like you're not going to roll your, like you're not going to roll yourself into the ground every single day. Right. Like you kind of like, we'll plan out the intensities of it. So like, do you have like specific days where you go really high intensity, you go lower intensity, where you just drill? Like what's that like?
Definitely on like Tuesday, Thursday, and like Friday. So like Tuesdays and Thursdays are like the blue bone up. So like those are like more rolling than drilling, but higher belts. And then Friday's just an open mat, but you get like a bunch of people there. So like Tuesdays and Thursdays are definitely like my high pace intensity like rolls, like with my dad, Dylan, the coaches and everyone. And then Friday are mostly just like, I would say like white through purple. So like I'm definitely working like my upper body and then lower body and like letting them work and still going like 50% or 60.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Mondays and Wednesdays, just like my light rolling. So like still getting like a sweat. Just like I'm still getting a sweat out of it, but I'm not going like full 100%.
Those are important days, right?
Yeah.
One thing I've noticed since becoming like since I got my blue belt, especially, was the like, I know it's kind of like kind of sounds fucked up, but fucking up like people that aren't as good as jiu-jitsu at you is like such a good way to get better. Like I've noticed that my offense has gotten so much better because I was able to get the, obviously not like hurting anybody, but like getting those reps on somebody who's like not as good usually does take less energy, and it allows you to actually like work your game rather than being like 6 months in and all you're focused on is like not getting smashed.
Right? Yeah. I definitely like work from like white belt to like purple and see like, I'll do this specific move on a white belt and see the difference between like on a purple belt and see different reactions. Cause you won't get the same reaction on different people. You get like different reactions and see what you can fix between them. So it's like definitely go like try and do stuff on different people and see what like happens.
Yeah. Well, of course anything is going to be easier on the white belt, you know, but then when you try, if you can, sometimes it's just like, if you're like researching a technique or you're like trying to drill something and it's not like in your game yet, it could be good to, I think, like do it on a white belt. And then you can slowly work from there as like building up the anticipated reactions, I guess, of a higher belt.
Mm-hmm.
You try to like apply that.
Yeah, definitely. Like once I got into like taking the back, I would definitely start on like, or I would definitely start like EBIOT, because like you start in the back and just see how long I can hold someone for. And then I'll see like, oh, see if I can like start getting their arms away and going from the chokes. And I saw like a big difference from that. So I'll definitely like, I'll ask people during rolls like, oh, you want to do this one EBI? And they'll be down with it. And I'll just like start from the boys. And definitely like my back escapes are like the best. Like those are like my good part of my game.
Where does the positional training show up in your routine?
Definitely on my light rolls, because I don't want to go like on my high intensity days. Like for EBI, you can definitely like just chill in a position, but if you want to do like light rolling, I definitely like start in I'll definitely start in EBI, because then I'm just like holding position and see how long I can go for. I'm not wasting any energy.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then you'll have your higher intensity days on like the Tuesday. You'll have like, it seems like you, if I'm following correctly, you have like two calm days and then like three more high intensity days. And then do you train on the weekend too?
Weekends are just usually just like my chill days and my like relaxed day, but I'll still go to class and just like probably like drill or just like a little bit of light rolling or just practicing some like wrestling. Definitely.
Okay. And then where in your routine, like, do you do any just like drilling where you'll put like, you know, 3 minutes on the clock and you'll just like rep a move, or is there like another way you like to drill?
I should definitely start drilling more. I barely drill, but like sometimes I'll ask people before like a roll, like, oh, do you want to drill? And I'll like drill like once and be like, oh, I'm good.
Yeah, let me just warm up real quick.
Yeah. Because like, you don't really see me drilling before any competitions. I'm usually just like chill and relax. I just like to go in there and like chill and like a little warmed up, like get slapped on the back.
Yeah. How did you get like a slap in the face before finishers?
I don't really like my face getting slapped. I usually get on my back. Dad or just like whoever's there. And just like that gets me like pretty like mad and warmed up.
Yeah, like wake your ass up a little bit.
Yeah.
What do you usually do to like prepare for a competition? Like if you have, if there is anything, like, especially, I guess you can even talk about like the differences between like preparing for like a good fight and then preparing for like a streamed event.
Yeah, it was definitely
like
different.
Like a week of, because, like what you'll do to ramp up.
Yeah, definitely. Like for a good fight, I usually ramp up like 2 days before, because like it's only gonna, like, no one like from like my outside life isn't gonna see it or something, and just like the people there are gonna see. So like I usually like amp it up like Thursday or Friday, and then for like more like streamed events, like finishers, I'm definitely like asking like the top people like to roll like purple and up, because I don't want to risk like me getting injured by like some spazzy white belt.
Yeah, that's a good point. Have you faced any injuries?
Only in my past, just like a couple like fractures in my ankles. Pretty much it.
From leg locks?
Basketball, actually.
Oh, funny enough, right? The leg locks, they actually don't really hurt anybody. It's all about the best people. Yeah, go figure. Yeah, injuries is definitely a sucky part of the sport, you know. You're young now, so be grateful for it. I'm sure you see like the guys that are like a bit older than you. Do you see a lot of injuries happening just in like jiu-jitsu in general?
Probably quick taps, because they don't want to risk it, and just like them really being like really stiff and like easily to like control and handle. So I haven't gone against any old people yet, or like I would say like, yeah, old people, but like during my rolls, I'll do like light rolls with like them, and like say like an older like person that just like came to the school, like I'll notice some stuff, like they're really, like if like one body goes there, their whole body does, and like they're just like really stiff in like a position.
Yeah, versus if you roll with someone probably like Dylan, there's like this flexibility.
Yeah,
there's a mobility.
Definitely.
Yeah, you're not slaying old people yet. You're just slaying adults, right?
Yeah.
That's a cool nickname. But as far as like what you try to do like the week of, like, is there like an intent focus in on like specific move sets that you're trying to hit, or are you more so just concentrated on like going hard?
Yeah, definitely like a specific move set, because I don't want to go for like, if I'm trying to go for like legs and like the back, I don't want to go for like arm bars or something. Like I want to focus mainly on those positions and like try to like not even get the tap, but just get to the position and like restart or reset. So I definitely like focusing on like my game and what I want to focus on during that like match, my upcoming match.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's definitely a good strategy to do. And so what's next for you? You have other tournaments coming up, and even like share a little bit about like your goals. I'd love to hear.
So I have, I think I have two competitions coming up in, or three. June 26th, I'll be on Flow Grappling in Florida on Just Kings promotion.
Nice.
Yeah. And July 24th, I'll be on Zapatero. That's Josh LeDuc's event. I'll be a super fight on there. And then probably November 7th and 8th, I'll be competing at ADCC Trials.
Oh, for real? Dude, that's fucking awesome, man. I wish you the best of luck on that. That would probably be wonderful for your like career.
Yeah.
I mean, especially starting out young. You got nothing to lose out there.
Yeah. That was probably my main goal. Like, at finishers, like, these are all, like, black and brown belts, so I have nothing, like, to worry about, like, win or lose. So, like, I wasn't really bummed out after my second match I lost. It was a really, like, he was a second, he was finalist at IBJJF Pan Ams. So, like, I didn't really have anything to worry about, to be honest. I just had fun.
So you got to have an intense round with someone who's pretty good. I mean, it was definitely a good match. Like, I, you know, sometimes you can go against somebody and everybody can kind of look and be like, all right, well, that guy kind of sucked. Like, you know, we beat him. But that guy looked good. It looked like a good round, no?
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely pushed each other to the limit. So that's what's up.
Yeah.
Is there anything particular you're doing to get ready for these, like, next few tournaments? Or is it just about, like, staying to the game plan?
Definitely, like, high-intensity matches, because I think it's points, too. And, like, I think the guy, like, stalked my Instagram and saw I was a leg lock person, and he asked for, like, no leg locks. So then what? I posted on my Instagram, like, oh, I'm going to take you back. So, like, you'll definitely see me taking backs on June 26th. Definitely.
What, that guy asked for no leg locks?
Yeah, so like
the
promotion was like, oh, parents like have to provide or like approve like leg locks. And my dad was like, obviously, like, yeah. And the other parents were like, no. But like the day of, the guy, my opponent, followed me and then unfollowed me after. I'm like, I don't really care, but like, you're really scared or that something is about so that
weird. You're in his head, bro. You're in his head.
Yeah.
You got free real estate.
Because I know I can, like, definitely, like, leg lock him, but I want to definitely take his back and just break the face slowly.
Just to show what's up, that you're not just a leg locker, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yo, up and coming, man. That's what's up. What's your favorite way to get to someone's back? If it was, like, a perfect match, what happens?
Definitely countering off of them taking my leg, because I'm really confident in my leg defense.
Yeah.
And just adding that. So I think Jason Round posted it recently too, where you, like, he's reaping and then you get your knee line out and then you backstep and then you roll over the same shoulder.
Are you on his Patreon?
I saw it on his clip on his story. I didn't see it in his Patreon, but one of my coaches, like, showed it and I really liked it. I was getting into it. If you see my, not the match I lost at Finishers, when the guy has my leg, I actually try to hit it, but he got his knee line out quick.
Okay.
But that's like, yeah, that's definitely like a back thing I want to hit in competition soon.
Well, it sounds like this guy ain't going for your legs.
Yeah, definitely.
You don't know. You don't know anything. Is this someone that's going to be your age or is this an adult?
Yeah, my age. So like, I was pretty bummed out because I asked for it. I was pretty bummed out because I asked for an adult, but they gave me a kid. But I'm not really going to, like, brag about it because he's a kid and he's my belt. So, like, I'm not going to brag, like, oh, I just beat this kid up when I'm, like, known for just beating up adults. So I'm not really going to, like, I'm on flow. That's, like, sick. But I'm probably going to post, like, how it went, but I'm not going to, like, make an edit or something about it.
Yeah, it's much more fun if you, like, fuck up a purple belt who's, like, 25.
Yeah.
That's way more fun. You know, that's what the people want to see. That's where you get the clout, you know.
For sure.
We don't want to see you bully other kids because we already know you're gonna fuck them up. But what's the way that you would probably get to someone's back if maybe they, like, weren't going for your leg?
Definitely, like, reverse De La Riva, like, kiss the dragon, or like just passing the guard and just like head and arms to gift wraps and like Yeah, definitely those. Just like the basics, to be honest.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite ways to go for it. It's like front strangles. If you fail the front strangle, it opens up the back exposure, right? Yeah. What was that?
Or Baron Bolos and Nogi.
Yes, hit the Nogi Baron Bolo. I was just you know Max, right? Max Meenan. I think you trained with him a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, that dude's awesome. I was with him my last visit up north, and that we were watching Finishers as it was live, and I was like, "Yo, Patty Ice, go!" But he showed me, like, he made this like highlight video, and where he like took some matches and like Gordon Ryan doing like the Nogi Bolo, and I was seeing like this interesting way of doing it. That'd be pretty cool. We could probably hit that if you get him down to his hips.
I'm probably gonna try to do that.
Might as well, right?
A quick highlight and then just to the back and just slowly choke him.
Yeah, now you really got to get to his back, right? Because he's like all about the no leg locks. Not even an ankle lock, nothing.
No.
Man, that makes jiu-jitsu way different, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely changed.
Better for me. I really want to focus on just like the upper body, so it's definitely like good for me. Like, oh, now I don't have to worry about the leg locks. So like my mate, now I have to focus on just taking the back or like passing the guard.
Is that what you're gonna do for your training?
Yeah, for sure.
Gotta like get ready for that. Yeah, that's cool. What are some of your long-term goals, if you have any?
Definitely, probably just ADCC, to be honest. Like, just even like win or lose at trials, like, oh, I just like compete in one of like the best events in the world, to be, and just like just to participate in it was nice. Oh, well, will be nice in November, but definitely just being like in the ACC championships for sure is like a main goal for me.
Are you going to be going against adults in the trials?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, that's sick, man. How do you feel about like even just talking about that? You ready to go?
I'm ready.
Because I mean, like, the real thing is, it's like, even if you like lost, no offense, but even if you did, you have like so much time on your hands to be able to go after it, right? There's only going to be two things that ruin you, Pat. There's going to be two things. One, it's going to be drugs, or two, it's going to be chicks. You can't let those things get in the way of you getting to ADCC championships.
Or they have to just be a competitor.
Exactly. They have to fuel you, right? Like, you have to be able to like, you know, do like technique on them or something. They can't drag you out.
At least, like, please just support me, because there's some girls like, oh, it's either me or training, or it's either me or jiu-jitsu. But like, definitely, just blocked, and or just there's like definitely just probably a good girl would be just like supportive about it, just definitely like helping you out with jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, you're definitely gonna be like the Chad of jiu-jitsu in a few years. I have a good feeling about that. Can see it now.
Daddy ice.
Yeah, daddy ice. When you're 18, bro, we're not gonna call you that until you're 18. You might get some people in trouble. Do you have anything that you want to like plug? I think you have like, don't you guys do like rubber bones or something like that? You guys have like a
I have my main sponsors is probably Rubber Bones, Rash Guards, Pro Pen Vape, and Best Life Ever Skateboards. Those are like, they're my training partners too. So just plugging them, and just my own brand, Lensogi, just like Tap Brand, Sogi, Vanarchy. Those are just like my teammates just making brands and just having fun with it.
Yeah, that's what I really like about that squad over there at 10th Planet. It looks like you guys are like a really like nice little community there. The community really is everything when it comes to jiu-jitsu, right? Like who your training partners are, like who you're
going to
on like a regular basis. I recently started going to a new gym down here, and the environment was like so much different than like any other gym that I ever went to. Like the friendliness, the like openness of like everybody just wanting to like, everybody just wants to train and get better, right? Like if we can go on the same page as far as that goes, I think like everybody gets along, and it became just like such a fun environment. It was actually like, there's actually a few people from New York, like different parts of New York and like different parts of like other states. Cause like Myrtle Beach is a very like touristy area, cause it's like beach weather and it's hot as hell. It's like 95 degrees right now. It's like killer. But like, there's always like different people. So it's cool. Cause I have a good training partner now is like this Alliance Purple Belt, who I probably never would have trained with. And we get like the most craziest fucking rounds ever. I'm sure you've rolled with some people from Alliance. Those guys are fucking tough.
Gabby Garcia there.
If you don't mind asking, like, what are your thoughts on like cross training and like training in other areas and stuff like that? Is that something that you do? Or do you
like definitely like
your group?
No, I think it's definitely just like a real, like, it should be in your jiu-jitsu life. Because say you roll with the same like five people every day, you guys are both going to know your games and just like know what each other's going to do, especially like high level like gyms like Marcelo's, Penzo's, or like Unity. Like those are big schools. Like Mateus Denise is in there, Junie, like Devante Johnson and Levi Jones. Like you definitely need those roles of people like that can give you different like reactions that you wouldn't have in like a normal training session. So I definitely like, I definitely agree on cross training. I definitely should be in like your jiu-jitsu life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. It seems to me like, I guess your instructors and your coaches, they don't really like get upset about that, right?
Yeah, like whenever we go out, like out of state, we're definitely trying to like go train somewhere.
Yeah, well, yeah. So just to like kind of cross, like not cross the boundary, like definitely not saying like, hey, go to the gym right down the block, right?
Yeah.
Like, that could be a little bit mad. But if you know like of some gym that's like 3 hours away and you and like the squad want to go and like visit it, I think there can be like a lot of productivity that comes from that. Yeah, I wanted to hear your thoughts on that, because I think that there's definitely still like a lot of people that get kind of like stuck in, and I think a lot of it can be definitely like the owners of gyms and like other coaches is like whatever reason that they have to like not have somebody go to a different gym. Like the gym that I started training at down here when I first moved was very like, they were even towards the end, they were saying you can't even wear other brands. Like if you, you know, I was wearing like a Sarah rash guard, I thought I was going to get shot. Like it was like, it was just such a weird environment, you know. Yeah. I'm sure even you just hearing about it, because it's like nothing you're used to. It was so strange. And then I started going to this other place. It's like barely on Google and it's in a barn and you're like, what the hell? But nicest people ever. The instructor's like a Helsing Gracie black belt. And he's like really legit. He talks about when he was like a blue belt, he used to like travel all over the States to like find where to train. He only knew like one other blue belt, 'cause he's like an older guy. So it's definitely cool. So yeah, I'm definitely pumped, but yo, I got to get a big goal of mine. So then this will be like one of the last things we can discuss, but a big goal of mine that I've always wanted to do was I wanted to do a super fight. So do you have any advice to any competitors that are like, or maybe like aspiring competitors that are like looking to compete more and maybe like trying to get on like an event?
So like definitely like just like mentioning them in your like competitions, like after like your winnings or something, like, and just that, like you'll see some promotions getting like white belt super fights or blue belts. Like for instance, some tournaments, like you're competing like 4 or 6 times like that day for a super fight, just like one and done. Like, oh, only have one match, like I'm done after that, I can chill, like watch it, like have a good time. But definitely like you'll see some like tournaments or promotions saying like, oh, use hashtag like Stogie and like in your highlight reel and see if you can get on the next card. So definitely that. And like, even if you like hit up Stogie, like he'll try to get you a match for sure, like easily. Like we have a bunch of like people out here.
But yeah, I like that idea though of being able to you post up your own, whatever you've been working on in tournaments, and then just like kind of like tagging events. 'Cause I always see like those type of events. Like it seems like everybody wants to go and like get their name recognized. Like there's a ton of ambitious like blue belts and purple belts that like want to get out there. And I always think it's like cool if you get invited on rather than like trying to beg to get on to something.
Yeah. Like you see like, for instance, like for Submission Underground, they're only asking for like black belts. So like, which is like, or brown and black belts, so which are whack. 'Cause you'll see like, you'll see purple belts on there too. So like, even just like getting a super fight or being on like the prelims, is just even like, say like a prelims on finishers. So like, you see how they had the undercard.
Yeah.
Like, even being on there, like it'll be like a good, like getting your name out for you on there.
That's awesome.
You'll see a bunch of views on finishers and like Dante Leon and Jay, like commentating, which is like sick.
Yeah, man. I love to see the jiu-jitsu growth for sure. Like, I think there's definitely more like awareness going on. If you want to end off with like some of your final thoughts as far as like jiu-jitsu and you know, what you think of the growth of the sport.
definitely like just don't quit. Like, I think I said it in the last one, but like I see a bunch of people like getting their blue belt and then I don't see them for like 3 months. Like, how can you like train for that long and just get your blue belt and then just be done with it? Like, how can you not be like addicted to jiu-jitsu, to be honest?
Yeah, it's like,
and some people don't get it, like, yeah, some people don't get like how like inspiring, like sometimes jiu-jitsu can like help your personal life too.
Oh, for sure. There's definitely more of a calmness to get all that, like,
like a stress relief. So like definitely that, like just stick with it and like eventually you're gonna love it. Like, you're never gonna hate it.
Yeah, well, I think it definitely depends on like who you train with, right? Like your training.
Yeah, like, you know, you can't be with a bad vibe school. Like, you want to be like, you want like this school to be like your family or something.
Yeah, don't be afraid to quit. Don't be afraid to quit the gym and then go to a different gym.
For sure.
You know, you're the paying, especially a lot of the time, you're the paying customer. So go get your business where you want it to be. But
yeah.
Anyway, Pat, I got to bounce. I got to go train, man. I really appreciate you coming on, brother.
Thank you.
Super cool to recap with you again. I'm very much so looking forward to your progress as an athlete and watching what you do with TAF.
Thank you, man.
All right, brother. You have yourself a good one.
Thank you. Have a good time.
All right. Peace out.